this time now as we look into your word, as we look at the things that we need to know, things that we need to allow. And Lord, as we allow you to bring this message to us, Lord, I pray that you would fill us, that we would allow your Spirit to fill every part of our being, that we might not just worship you in music, but also worship you now as we listen, as we hear with our hearts what you have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a lot of pages here, and we're going to get through them, too. You know, what would you do if you were in a war? What would it be like if Crandon was in war? If we had people, enemy individuals, trying to bust down your door, sniping you on the streets, wanting to do harm to you and your family. If you were in the thick of it, say in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or other places, what would you do? How would you be ready? Well, in the military, there's things that they do. In boot camp or basic training, they teach you the basic skills that you need. You prepare. You get in shape. You study strategy. You learn how to fight. You get to where it becomes automatic and immediate. It's not a thought process. You know, I don't know how many have ever learned another language, but when you learn another language, you're thinking in English and you're translating it into that language. That's really not knowing that language well. When you speak another language, it should just be there. And that's the same thing that you do when you prepare. It becomes so immediate, so part of you, that you don't have to think. You just react. The second thing you learn is to be vigilant, to watch, to keep your eyes and ears open. Don't let your guard down. It's kind of like nowadays, we see that even more so. Even our kids in school can't let their guard down. It's a different world we're in. I remember when I was in school, they did drills, that's what it was, drills. And then we did earthquake drills in California. And they would say, all right, you know, the bell would go off and everybody go underneath your table. Now later, after knowing about nuclear weapons that I used to load on aircraft and things, and knowing what the damage and what they do, we had a famous saying, I guess, in the military, that if you see one go off, walk toward it. Because running away from it, you're still going to die, but it'll be slower. You might as well die quicker. You know, but it doesn't stop you from being vigilant, from watching. And our country does that for us in a lot of ways. They have a radar thing going all the time. My nephew is in the mountain in Colorado. And so when you ask him anything, he says, I can't tell you. But this mountain, if you've seen even movies on it, you know, the walls are about as thick as this room. And they close that up, and that is the central command, basically. But they have radar that goes on all the time. They are vigilant. They're watching constantly, 24 hours a day. There were guys, we called them scope dopes, and they would sit in front of a radar scope all their whole shift. You know, and I'm sure they got breaks, you know, 4 hour on or whatever they did, but they just sat there and watched radar all the time to be vigilant. Also, the last thing is then there's a time to take action. When the time comes, you step into it. Now, we saw, unfortunately, in Florida, an individual that did not take action. And the consequences of that action or inaction, what took place. And so, we as Christians, we don't look at ourselves being in a war, but we are. We're in a war for our souls. We're in the war for the souls of others. We need to prepare. And so I want us to go to a few scriptures that describe these different points and parts to be prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1741 in your pew Bible, 1741, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And starting in verse 24. Chapter 9, verse 24, 1 Corinthians says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." This is a preparation. Now, I remember, you know, here's some stories you probably heard before in 28, 29 years or whatever. I'm sure I've told them before. But when I was in track, you ran. And there was a coach that we had, and we just hated him. But he made us better. And he had this whistle. And we would run around. At that time, it was a 440. Quarter mile track, and we would run around that track, and every 110 yards he would blow the whistle. And at a certain particular time you should be in that spot when he blows the whistle. If you weren't, you speed it up. If you were ahead of it, you could slow down. But he would blow that whistle every time you hit that 110 mark, and it was so many seconds, you know, like 20 seconds. So you made a 60-second quarter mile. And we hated that whistle because we dreaded it every time we heard it. But it was training. It was preparation. And we went into strict training. In fact, these people in the Olympics, it's crazy. Because they don't eat any sugar. They don't eat any cake. They don't have any junk food. For all their training, they don't eat those things. I'd never be an Olympian. Just saying about that. But as Christians, preparation. So what is Paul saying? We go out and run around the track. Some of us are saying, there's no way that's going to happen. So what is the preparation for a Christian? The preparation is the Scripture, His Word. The preparation is to seek his guidance, his wisdom. Ephesians 6:13 says to take up the full armor. And it describes the armor and what kind of things we're supposed to take up. The shield of truth, the sword of the Spirit, those kinds of things. We're supposed to gird our loins with the gospel, gird our feet with the gospel, those kinds of things. We're supposed to prepare with spiritual things because we're in a spiritual battle. I mentioned that last time. We're not supposed to be passive. We're not supposed to be lazy. Oh, yeah, it's okay. We're going to rest a little bit because even Jesus rested. In Mark 6:31, they were so busy. People were inundating and they were all over the place. And Jesus saw the disciples just, were frantic. And so Jesus says, come on, let's get away. So there is times you need to get away. You need to rest. Soldiers, the same thing. I remember Jonathan when he was in Iraq and he got R&R in Baghdad. I thought, oh man. And you know where R&R was, where they got to rest and relax? Saddam Hussein's palace. So he got to stay in the palace and swim in Saddam's pool. I was so jealous. So jealous, but it was amazing. He got pictures of it all and everything, and it was just it's amazing. We do get R&R, and God doesn't expect us to be 24 hours, 7 days a week, busy, busy, busy. Remember, He gave us the Sabbath, the seventh day. We're supposed to rest. Today, is scriptures and then relax. Kathy's always handcuffing me because And there's so many things that have to be done, but God wants us to rest sometimes to gain our strength back. Then it's to be vigilant. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 18:11 in your pew Bibles, in Timothy, 2 Timothy and chapter 2. 18:11, and it starts in verse 3. He says here, endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. A hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. In other words, when you're about the Lord's business, you don't get entangled with the worldly things. There's a lot of things to distract us. A lot of things I enjoy. But I shouldn't let those things entangle me to the point where I can't serve God. If God were to call you somewhere other than here, would you go? Or are you too entangled in the life that's here? It's a tough decision. It's a tough feeling or what you should be devoting yourself as far as the Lord's concerned, because it's hard for us to just up and leave. We've got a lot of stuff here. We've got family here. We've got roots. God doesn't want us to have so many roots that we can't serve Him in some capacity, even if He calls us somewhere else. 1 Peter tells us to be alert. Why? It says because Satan is like a roaring lion, looking around for somebody to devour. And what do lions go and attack? The animals that aren't prepared, that aren't alert, that are weak. That's what Satan goes after. So if you're not in the Word, if you're not learning from Him, if you're not gaining more strength, more faith in Bible studies and in seeking Him and in prayer, you're an easy target. There's a lot of great things out there in the world that will take you down the wrong path. In fact, we know all about the end times, and we know that there's going to be a mark called the mark of the beast. And it's going to be an identifying mark on your hand or your forehead, according to the scriptures. Now, that's already in place, and some people... Now, it's not called the mark of the beast yet. And I'm not saying that it's not a very convenient thing. And I'm not saying that it won't be a really nice advantage. But I want us to beware, because as Christians, we're going to say, sorry, I'm not taking it. I'm not going to accept it. And people are going to look at you and go, what is wrong with you? And you're going to say, you know, this, it's just too close to a mark that I just won't take. Because eventually, people will be told, you'll have to pledge allegiance to an antichrist, to an individual who will set himself up as God. And if you already have that implant, what are you going to do? They're either going to take it out of you, or they're going to explode it in you. I don't know how. I'm just making a little speculation, but right now they do have an insert, and it sounds really good, because what's going to do is you get the insert, it's going to have all your bank records, it's going to have all your tax records, you won't have to carry your wallet anymore, you won't have to carry your keys anymore. Let's see if I got all these keys, and look at that, Captain America. You won't have to, you know, that's heavy too, and sometimes it wears on my leg, you know, and I'm walking around and stuff. You won't have to carry those anymore. You walk up to your car, the car door will open, you'll get in the car, and the car will say, where would you like to go, Bill? Let's go down to the hotel cafe. Okay, sit back, relax. And I'll take you there. You go up to your house, and you reach for the door handle, and the door will open. Welcome, Bill. Good to see you again. You know, everything is going to be smart. You walk up to the refrigerator and you'll open the refrigerator and you'll reach for that root beer or nice chocolate, whatever in there, and the refrigerator is going to tell you, you really shouldn't eat that today. Your sugar level is a little high, according to the chip that's in your hand. Your heart rate's a little bit fast. Maybe you better go down and sit down for a minute. Maybe you better do this. See, this is what's going to happen, and we're going to go, what's so bad about that? You know, it'll monitor your whole body. It'll say, you know, maybe you should go get a doctor appointment because something's up in your system. Your white cells are a little high. You will be monitored 24 hours a day. All this, and it's going to be an advantage. We're going to say, wow, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is because in prophecy it tells us, watch out. Be alert. Be alert and pray. God will give you those directions. Next thing is, of course, we got to take action. Sometimes you have to take action. 1 Timothy, if you just turn back a little bit, or if you've closed the Bible, 1808 in your few Bibles, 1808, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 12. Well, we can start in 11, because previously it talks about things that are going to be going on in this world. And it says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made, or when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need to take action sometimes. We need to fight. It says here to take hold of eternal life to which you were called. That isn't this, you know, well, okay, kind of take hold of it. If it can be snatched out of your hand, you're not taking hold. Consider what you have of great value. Colossians tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. That's part of taking action. Romans 12:4-8, it tells us about spiritual gifts. It says we all have a spiritual gift. And it says, use it. We're in a battle for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. The battle is not someone coming to your house to vanquish you or to take your house and kill your family. That's not the battle. It's more subtle, but not any less dangerous. If Satan can distract us with all the busyness of this world, with all the technology and all the other things, where all we want to do when we come home is sit and vegetate, something's up. No interaction with our wife or husband or children. Just give them the iPad or the iPhone and, you know, they won't bother us. Is that how it is? Is that what's going on in this world now? How long will it take before we lose that generation? How long before God is completely thrown out? Well, it started in the 60s, remember? Prayer was removed out of schools. 1960s. I remember that because I was in school. We're at about 58 years right now. If we consider 70 years to be a generation, which in Psalms 90, 10, verse 10, says that the years of a man are 70 years, or 80 if they're blessed. So in one generation, the things of God could all be forgotten. We're headed that way. Most of our children have no clue. You know, when I start out with Kids Club, they don't know any stories. You talk about Noah, who's he? You talk about Samson, what was he? We're given the power we need to fight the fight. I've got a few slides. John 17:20-21. Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us. In verse 16, or John 16:33, he said, next slide, I've overcome the world. We don't have to overcome the world. He already did it. That's why he says, I've told you things that you can have peace. You're going to have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. If Christ lives in me, I've overcome the world too. Isn't that cool? Amen. Philippians 4:13, next slide, says, we can do all things through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not this or that, or one thing or another. The last one, which is even more powerful than all the others, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We don't have to let anything in this world run us around or cause us pain or suffering. That doesn't mean we won't have pain and suffering. We will. But it doesn't have to rule our lives. If you find yourself constantly overwhelmed, depressed, negative, feeling defeated, no joy, no motivation, running but getting nowhere, you pray but feel God is not listening, there's a problem. That's your pulse beat. Your faith pulse. If that's what your life is like, then there's an issue. You need to see the doctor. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. Certainly, yes, we're humans, and every once in a while we do get caught up. We go through a trial and we get a little depressed and we have a difficulty. Believe me, I understand that. I've had some big trials in my life. I know the pain. I know the overwhelmed feeling. I know the feelings of being defeated and no joy and all those things. I felt it too. But then you devote yourself to prayer, to study, get with other believers, seek a counselor. Never give up. There's no reason to give up. Well, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you will fall prey to the roaring lion. You know, you could go to church all your life. You could give a tenth of everything you have. You could be in Sunday school. You could listen to Christian radio and have a relationship with the man upstairs. But is it really a relationship when you call him the man upstairs, or you say the good book, or you say the, you know, I'm so blessed, praise the Lord, hallelujah? They're all buzzwords. They're all words that our Christians use. But have you really sat down and let God talk to you? Have you really just sat down and given everything to Jesus? Is He Lord and Master over you and all you do? Last week we said, you know, in the scripture of 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, glorify God. Is that what's happening in your life? Are you still running your own life? Or are you letting Jesus run your life? It's time to give up. Time to get down and be honest. Time to stop playing church and give your life to Christ. Time to open your heart and let Jesus in. Let's have a moment and have some prayer before we close. Father, we come before You. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. And it's going pretty good. But we got a little lazy. We just don't think that we need to be out there. We're up in age. Tired. We just want to retire from life. Lord, I pray that You light a fire under every one of us, no matter what our age is. Because we can all witness. We can all share the gospel. We can all example what it is to be a Christian. And we can be a witness for You in all things. Lord, I pray for those that maybe they haven't chosen You as their Savior. They haven't sat down. Maybe they coming to church because it's the right thing to do, they feel, or somebody's brought them, and they're here and picked up a few Christian words, but in their heart, it's not there. Lord, I pray that they would open up their hearts, that they would just pray, Lord Jesus, I know You're not there. I'm living a life that is sorry, full of depression, overwhelmed feelings, no joy, no peace. I'm tired. I need You in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Fill me with Your Spirit. Make me a new creature. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would be fired up. These are the last days. Things are coming fast. Wars and rumors of wars. All kinds of things that are happening one after the other. Lord, I pray that we are vigilant. That we are taking action. That we have prepared ourselves and continue to prepare ourselves. Training up to become who You want us to be. Lord, thank You now. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to go to our last song that we close. Thank you. Let's all stand. In Christ alone.